Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's just seek the Lord's face in prayer and ask now for His blessing and His help today. Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to gather in Thy name and to worship Thee. And we pray, O God, Thou wouldst come, Lord, and be one of our number this day. We pray, O God, You'd help us to worship Thee. We thank You for the God that we worship and the God that we serve. He is the Lord of glory. He is the one that has made us and not we ourselves. And we thank You that Thou art not only the Creator God, but Thou art also the Saviour of Your people. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and the one who gave Himself for us. And we thank You we have a message to proclaim that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And we just pray, O God, You'll bless our hearts this day as we sing Your praises, as we gather round Your word. We pray, O God, Thou would speak to us. We pray especially for Thy servant, the Reverend McLernan, as he comes to open up the Scriptures. Bless him as he brings Your word to our hearts. We pray, O God, that we would be challenged, that we would be encouraged, and Your word be a blessing to our lives. So, Lord, hear and answer our prayer. These things we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. And amen. Returning in God's word today to the book of Judges, and to the chapter 14. And we're going to commence a reading here at verse 1. So it's Judges chapter 14, commencing to read at verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took it off in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. And he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Amen. We'll end our reading in verse 9. May God bless his truth to our hearts. We're now going to sing the hymn, Take My Life, and Let It Be, Holy Consecrated Lord, to thee.
It's good to be with you today, and we welcome the opportunity to share God's word together. Draw your attention to verse 9 of the passage that was read for us in Judges 14. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Samson was a man noted for his strength, though it's a great pity that he wasted so much of his energy running after the things of the flesh. He was sent from God, equipped by God, to fulfill God's purpose at the time in which he lived. in his life. He could have strengthened the nation. He could have returned his people to the worship of God. He could have wiped out the Philistines for God. But he squandered his talents on practical jokes and relinquished his strength altogether by running after that woman that he had fallen in love with. And nevertheless, he did begin to rescue Israel. And in his final act, God still used him to slay more of the enemy than he had done in all the time he lived. However, his story would teach us that it's never too late to start over. And this should be an encouragement to any believer who feels that maybe he hasn't been at his best for God, or somebody who feels they have let the Lord down along life's way. God can still give his child the opportunity to do something useful for his glory. I don't want to dwell today on Samson's failures or on his triumphs, but rather we want to look at this incident where he slew the lion with his bare hands and a little later found within the carcass a swarm of bees and a supply of honey. Now surely it was an outstanding circumstance that an unarmed man should slay a lion considering all its strength. As you can imagine, birds of prey and various other creatures would very soon devour all the flesh off the bone. They could leave that lion's frium as clean as if it had been to the meat plant. But what is every bit as strange is the fact that the swarm of bees should so soon arrive and use the lion's rib cage as a hive to place their honey in. And of course, it wasn't long before the matter was made a subject of a riddle. People make jokes about things all the time. Some incident of note occurs, and before you know it, jokes are being passed around the nation via social media. In this incident with the lion carcass and the honey, we have something that offers encouragement and a challenge to God's people for the age in which we live. And I trust as we look at this for a few moments, the Lord will be pleased to minister to our hearts with profit and blessing. Three things we want to consider very simply. First of all, you have the believer's conflicts. You can picture Samson on his way again to Timnath. He comes via the vineyards to that place where he had some time earlier slain the lion. Now, we're not told exactly how long it was since he had been that way, but verse 8 of the chapter just has it that it was after a time. So it may well have been a number of months. But he passes the place where that carcass is lying, and on taking a closer look, discovers that the bees have moved in and there's an abundant supply of honey already in the hive. Anyway, in the slaying of this beast of prey, Samson is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered Satan, that lion who roars against us, the one who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Our Savior's note of triumph is, it is finished. And now he stands in the midst of his church with hands outstretched full of sweetness and consolation. To each of us who believes in him, he gives the luscious food that he has prepared for us by the overthrow of our enemies, and he bids us come, taste and see that the Lord is good. But there's another parallel here in Samson, and that is that the believer must take on the lions of this old world. To become a believer is to enlist in God's army, and it's to enter into a pilgrimage where the road is often rough and hills are steep. There are deep valleys to be traversed, and there are adversaries all around us that are out to do us damage spiritually. As the Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians 6 and 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved, there's a conflict going on today. This present time, wherein even the correcting of children, according to the teaching of the Scriptures, that is discarded. Hence, children are today robbed of the right to discipline. Surely that constitutes child abuse. innocent children at the same time are being murdered before they're even born. Such laws have to be engineered in hell. And why must we be compelled to accept legislation that is against our consciences and totally anti-God? God's people need to be praying against this wickedness. Where Samson was concerned, God had intended for him to smite the Philistines and check their proud oppression of Israel. He was born for that purpose. And this run-in with the lion was just an early lesson in conflict. He's just on the verge of manhood when he had to take on this ferocious beast. And it was no accident that he met with that creature. God brought about the circumstances to demonstrate to Samson what he could do through his servant. This was to show him what strength God could give him when the Holy Spirit came upon him. This lion that Samson faced is described in verse 5 as a young lion. That doesn't mean that it was just a cub. On the contrary, it is one that is full of strength, and as such was the worst kind of beast that any man could have faced. And isn't it so that young men are brought to meet with the strongest of temptations in this life? Young person, you may be tested as to how you will keep the Sabbath day, or as to whether or not you will be found in certain establishments where the ungodly hang out, or whether you'll participate in certain sinful practices. Well, there are 101 possible scenarios as to how your faith may be tested, may be tried, but you need to know your God, and you need to know what strength He has made available to you. Samson wasn't out hunting wild beasts. He was walking in the vineyards, enjoying the solitude, taking in the goodness of God in the place of fruit bearing. Now, probably the last thing he was thinking of was a lion coming at him. But verse 5 has it that it was at this point, it was in those tranquil conditions, that a young lion roared against him. And that beast would have had him for lunch if God hadn't given him the strength to take him on. And make no mistake about it, beloved, Satan would have you and me for dinner if we didn't have the Holy Spirit within us. We can never afford to be slack about our walk with God. Little wonder Peter exhorts us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We are no match for such an adversary. Verse 6 tells us that Samson had nothing in his hand when this fierce beast came at him. Humanly speaking, he was in big trouble. A lion is not to be messed with. This was an adversary that no man would tackle in his own strength. And of course, the same applies where the spiritual conflict is concerned. But this is where the child of God benefits. Because he can say with the Apostle John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let the believer take encouragement here, because with God's strength at your disposal, you can overcome every adversary that comes across your path. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Samson didn't chase that lion away. Rather, he tore it apart. That's the kind of victory that God gives. But notice, secondly, the believer's comforts. Thank God the Christian life isn't always about killing lions. It's about eating honey as well. But you notice, when the honey came to Samson, it was after he had got the victory over the lion. Does that not suggest that if you want to taste the sweetness of Christ, you'll enjoy him more, you'll enjoy him most, when you get the victory over that adversary who comes against you? You do battle with the devil's temptation. Lean upon Christ, and the Holy Spirit will give you the courage to help resist the devil. And beloved, when you do that, victory is sweet. If you buckle under temptation, you'll not enjoy any sweetness. Rather, you'll be left with a bitter taste in your mouth. But the sweetness of his blessing on your soul makes all the resistance you can muster worth the effort. What could be sweeter than honey? What could be more joyful than the joy of the believer? This world has got nothing to touch it. Christ is the fullness of joy to his people. And aren't we bidden him enjoy him to the full? Samson found a honeycomb. It was almost like a spring of honey. So abundant was the supply that he was able to take huge chunks of it and carry it in his hands and share it with his father and mother. Oh, beloved, isn't Christ worth sharing? Isn't the Word of God like a great honeycomb? Your Bible is like the swarm of bees that make honey in the form of the promises of Scripture. What could be sweeter than to know that all your sins have been blotted out and will never be remembered against you ever again? Well, thank God sin need no longer have dominion over you, for Christ has made full atonement. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:16-17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Doesn't that taste like honey? Another lion that is killed off is that of sinful desire. When a man is saved by the grace of God and he becomes that new creature in Christ, the old desires, the old habits, the old yearnings after sinful things, they all disappear. Gone is the hankering after the liquor or the nicotine. He's got a better taste now. Something sweet in his mouth, the taste of honey. Aye, and there are many lions of similar annoyance that are put to death when a man meets with Christ. But perhaps the strongest lion of them all is the lion of death. Yet where the believer is concerned, he can face that adversary with confidence, know that he's already got the victory over that one, and he knows that when his time comes for departure from this life, even that would be like honey to his taste. There's no pain in death. That pain all comes beforehand, but it ceases the moment death comes. The apostle could say boldly, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the believer can look forward with delight to departing this life, for he knows that what awaits him on the other side will be sweeter than any honey he ever tasted in this old world. Beloved, this is reality. And of course, honey is good for you. It's good for keeping cholesterol under control. It's good as a medicine, both internally and externally. It can be used to ease a sore throat. It can be rubbed on broken sores. And just as the natural honey is good for the body, so the honey of the gospel is sweet medicine to the soul of man. It brings such comfort to the believer. But lastly, there's the believer's commission. What did Samson do with the honey when he found it in the carcass of the lion? Well, he immediately shared it with others. Isn't it so that as soon as a man is saved, he wants to tell somebody? Well, why wouldn't he? He has tasted the sweet honey of forgiveness. The delights of God flood his soul. He has a peace he can't explain. There's a new joy bursting forth in his soul that he can't contain. The burden of sin is lifted. He must tell it out. It's too sweet to keep it all to himself. Are you sharing Christ, beloved, with other people? Do they know how sweet he is to you? You can't be a secret disciple. Psalm 107:2 has this exhortation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And beloved, you deny Christ when you fail to own him. But notice where Samson shared this honey. With his parents. He started at home. And isn't that the hardest place to start when you come to trust Christ and own him? Why is that? Well, isn't it because that's where people really know you the best? May you tell your family you've been saved. Some of them may be hurt. They're not saved. It means, well, they must now acknowledge their own sinful condition, and maybe they don't want to do that. Telling other people about what Christ has done for you is such a privilege, and it's the first thing to make you stronger. And then, of course, you can pray for your loved ones. So don't preach at them, but let them see that you've got the taste of the honey, and let there be sweetness in your witness. Samson found this honey out in the vineyard, brought it to his parents in his hands. And some people say, well, why didn't he get a nice dish? There were no nice dishes in the vineyard. All he had was his hands, but he used them. He used what he had. He didn't even tell his parents about the honey. He just took it to them. You could do that, beloved. You could carry a Bible in your hands or a gospel tract. Do what you can to share the honey. And you notice too that Samson was modest about what had occurred, because he never told his parents about the lion. He simply brought them the honey and shared it with them. You know, some people, if they killed a fly, they would want to broadcast it. Look what I did. Samson just brought the sweetness to his parents and shared it with them. You know, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And far better it is that you be content to share the honey of the word with somebody. Tell them how sweet the Lord Jesus is to your soul. And if through that sweetness of the gospel, you influence somebody for heaven, will your heaven be all the sweeter when you get there? Oh, tell me, have you tasted the honey, beloved? If you have, will you share it with somebody as you walk through the vineyard of this world? May God encourage you to do so. If you haven't tasted it, well, why not put your trust in Christ? Take him to be your Savior. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. May God bless you and make you to be a blessing, even wherever you go, and use you for his glory. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for the sweetness of the gospel message. Oh, we thank thee that those who have tasted of Christ can say, yea, he is altogether lovely. May thy people come to enjoy him more, be used to proclaim his sweetness to those they come in contact with. And any who know not the Savior, oh, may they come, even today, taste and see that the Lord truly is good. Bless thy word to all of our hearts, we ask of thee, and glorify thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.